On June 12, 2012, Sergei Frolov got a phone call from a friend with an offer. Did Sergei want to join him for a ride on a plane?
Естественно, я согласился, сказал, что да, почему бы и нет.
Why not, Sergei thought. After all, this is the kind of thing that doesn't happen every day in Sarov. Because the town doesn't have what you'd call an airport. It's just an old landing field.
Потом я ему сказал, что я, Дима, нахожусь в саду.
But then Sergei reminded his friend that he actually was outside of town. His friend said, oh, sorry, it's not going to work out. We're taking off soon. So Sergei didn't catch that flight. His friend joked he'd wave as he passed overhead, and that's where the story really begins. Because that evening, the plane, a small AN-2 single-engine biplane, took off from the airfield in Sarov with 13 people on board, and then it just disappeared. The initial TV reports were almost like a stereotype of Russians. Locals had gotten drunk and gone for a joyride. But there was no black box. The AN-2 has a manually operated beacon that hadn't been deployed. Most of the people on board hadn't notified anyone they were getting on the plane, and there was no official clearance for the flight. In fact, there was no flight log at all. Leonid Kazantsev, with the local emergency situations ministry, says rescue teams started patrolling the forests.
But we didn't even know which direction they flew in. To the north? To the south? We had to consider a radius of 500 kilometers in every direction.
Over the ensuing weeks, some 2,000 police, rescuers, and volunteers combed the thick forests of the Ural Mountains. Planes flew dozens upon dozens of search missions in the surrounding area, and still no sight of the plane. Nikolai Pozharuk, a retired local lawyer who helped in the search effort, says that's when people began to look for other explanations.
When you see all this effort going into something and there's zero result, what else can you do? It's a plane, not a pin. So you had this feeling that something here wasn't quite right.
One theory was terrorism. Maybe the plane had been hijacked. Another had it that the plane had drifted into the airspace of a nearby military base and been shot down. Татьяна Шарафеева, a local journalist, says for the most part the only theory that seemed far-fetched was that the AN-2, a small aviation favorite throughout the former Soviet Union, had simply crashed.
Why? Because it was an AN-2. It's old, but pilots will tell you it just doesn't fall from the sky. It glides. And so you can land it in the mountains, on water, even on the tops of trees. Even with engine trouble, it can make a soft landing like a paper airplane.
So where was the AN-2? One man came forward with what he said were recordings of panic transmissions from the crew. In the white noise, he said, you could make out calls for help, saying they were alive, but injured and surrounded by bears. The national media just fueled the speculation. Television programs interviewed psychics who claimed the plane was trapped in the Ural's own version of the Bermuda Triangle. Authorities say they checked out every theory, however bizarre. Then, in 2013, nearly a year later, hunters in the woods stumbled across the wreckage. The plane was just 8 kilometers from town. Somehow search crews had just missed it. Dmitry Skryabin, a local journalist, was among the first on the scene.
All our hopes that somehow they survived came to nothing. There was no grand conspiracy, no parallel universe. It was all much simpler. The plane just crashed and burned.
The official investigation determined the plane's wing clipped a treetop, driving the AN-2 into the ground. It exploded on impact, killing all on board. Pilot error and possibly alcohol were cited. A criminal case was even launched against the pilot, though later dropped after the court noted the defendant was, in fact, deceased. And so what to make of all this? Well, some locals say in the crash they see aspects of a typically Russian tragedy. Decaying infrastructure and small-town lives destroyed by liquor and a search for thrills. And in the rescue effort, says the retired lawyer Nikolai Pozharuk, a showcase for the misuse of state resources.
Judging
from everything we read and heard, it was a massive operation. But then it turns out that half of that work wasn't done. That's the way it is here. You create the impression of active work and write the report so all the numbers add up.
But it's also a more universal story, one you see every time a plane goes missing. There's the media overdrive, the hope against hope for survivors, and even after the wreck is discovered, answers that don't really provide answers. Even today, the town of Serov is divided. Some believe the official account, others find it impossible to accept that searchers missed the plane when it was so close all along. Someone, they say, put it there. Sergei Frolov, the guy who passed up the ride on the AN-2, says every day on his drive to work, he still finds himself thinking about the plane, wondering what happened in the sky. And all he knows is that he'll never really know. Charles Maines, DW, Serov, Russia.